chapter number 16, verse number 7. John chapter number 16, verse number 7. I want to talk to you on a new subject. And remember, we are sitting on our theme, the Holy Spirit, my everything. Put your hand on your chest and say, the Holy Spirit, my everything. So we are trying to send one message. God wants to be your everything. God wants to be your number one person to go to in every area of your life. The last time we were here, we were looking at the dynamic functions of the Holy Spirit. And we showed you how he works, and we have showed you how he is one person who masquerades as different people so that he can meet your different types of needs. Today, I want to show you the same person called the Paraclete in a different light. And my aim is to help you recognize God's plan for your life. I'm taking this text from John chapter number 16. It's verse number 7. It's on the screen. Let's read. Ready? Go. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. Now, that word nevertheless there, in my text it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, that is, it is for your benefit. Jesus is talking to the disciples. Have you ever watched a movie that you have watched, and when you are watching a particular episode, or not as episode, scene, you recognize the main character talking to the people and they don't understand him because they are in the movie and they are not aware of the previous scenes. I don't know whether you are following. Or maybe flip it around. Have you ever watched the movie and heard people having a conversation, the characters, the players having a conversation, and you don't understand them, but after the movie is over, you now look back at what happened in the movie and the words that were ringing in your mind during the movie when one of the characters said them now are beginning to make sense. Yeah, so that's us. The movie is over. The script is over. The Bible is written. Jesus has come and is gone. The Holy Spirit has come and is here. Now we are reading the statements and we can look back and say, oh, this is what these guys were missing. Because the movie is now over. Why did Jesus say it is an advantage for us to have the Holy Spirit? I want to start it at that level. Because here's what we have said, the word used there for the counselor, the paraclete, means. Is that Jesus is saying, if I don't go away, you would not have a counselor. You would not have an advocate. You would not have a helper. You would not have a teacher. What's number five? The advocate, the helper, the comforter. Yeah. So it was advantageous for Jesus to go away because Jesus could not be in us and with us all the time. And Jesus could not transform himself into multitude different types of professionals to meet our different types of needs at a time. Are you following? Now, we need to ask a question. Why is Jesus sending the Holy Spirit to us? What was the overall aim? Now we can see the functions on different functions of the person that the Holy Spirit is. But what is the aim that is embedded in this function? The function is you would need a counselor sometime in life. You'd need advice. You'd be confused as some of you are today. And when you are confused, here is the good news. The Holy Spirit can help you in your confusion as a counselor. Or one time you would find yourself not knowing what to say or facing cases that are difficult for you and you need somebody to come in as an advocate to speak for you, the Holy Spirit would show up. Or sometimes you would lose certain things. You'd lose your job. You'd lose your loved ones. You'd undergo grief and you'd need a comforter to show up in your life and say, it will be well. It's gonna be fine. hope again, believe again, trust again. So in that context, the Holy Spirit would come and help. Or maybe you need a help. I mean, you are trying to lift things, or maybe you are having a load and the Holy Spirit comes and lifts that burden out of you. You just came to church and you feel refreshed. The burden that was coming from the distress has been lifted up because you needed help. You were facing issues that you can't hold on into your life and you needed somebody to lift them off. So the Holy Spirit can lift the burden and give you peace and make you light. And you say, hey, I feel light today. I talk to God, talk to the Holy Spirit, and although these issues are still here, I am light. So we know, and maybe you would not understand something, and the Holy Spirit will show up as a teacher and show you how it gets. So we know the functions, we know the intention. But what was the aim? Is what I want to translate this text to show you the aim of God and of Jesus in sending the Holy Spirit. And I want to summarize that overall aim today by saying the overall aim of the Paraclete is to lead you towards prosperity. The overall reason why the Holy Spirit came is to lead you towards prosperity. And I know for those of you who have been Christians for a long time, you feel like, what is this? And that's true. The Holy Spirit's major aim, why he came, is that you may become prosperous, successful as a candidate in your purpose and in your calling that God has designed for you. That's why the Holy Spirit came. He didn't come so that you may feel little butterflies. He didn't come so that you can speak in tongues some way and impress people. No, he came so that your mission on earth can be accomplished. The role of the Holy Spirit is not to impress us in a service. It's not to help us when we are dealing with demonic spirits. And that's my key point. I want to demystify the view that seeks to suggest that the Holy Spirit is only relevant when you are dealing with spiritual things, because he is spirit. I want you to recognize the bigger plan of God, that the Holy Spirit is to be involved in everything in your life. You are to involve him in your work. You are to involve him in your business. You are to involve him in your relationship. You are to involve him when you are buying something and you don't know what to buy. You are to involve him. You are to involve him for an interview. You are to involve him when somebody is proposing to you. You are to involve him when somebody who have proposed to you and told you the truth that he loves you is now confused. He wants to be part of the whole story in your life. And I'm going to help you recognize how different this prosperity is, because majority of you, when you talk prosperity, you are thinking merely financial. But I want to help you, go with me if you can, to third John chapter number 1, and we are reading verse number 2. So third John chapter number 1, and we are reading verse number 2. If you can give it to us there so that we get it done quickly, please. So in third John, John is writing to a guy, and this guy is called Gaius, and he's saying these words to him. He's saying, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and all that may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. If you can give me the other version, please. So the other version reads, dear beloved, I pray that you may prosper in health, even as in health and in all other areas, even as your soul also prospers. Now, I want to sit on the Greek word that is used there to help you understand what it means to prosper. But I want you, for the first time, yeah, there's another text if you can give it to us so that we can follow clearly there. So I want you to follow closely the text. Now, if you can give the slide that I've given to you, it will be much more better. I want you to follow the logic in the text. The logic in the text is that the intention of God is to give you prosperity. Now, let's ask simple questions so that you can follow logically. Because when we read the study, or when we read the Bible and we follow it, we need to be able to read one thing. There is one thing that God is saying from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. So whenever we study systematic theology, the aim is to see the consistent in thought of what God is doing. When God the Father lifted up the Israel from Egypt, what was the overall aim? And I can answer that question in one word. It was to prosper the Israelites. Ask me why and ask me to justify it. Go and read the whole story in the Pentateuch. Here is what you find. The God of heaven is taking slaves who some of them had no names, who had no right to property, who had no gold, no silver, nothing. And he's taking them to give them for the first time a title deed of a land that they would own. To give them what? Houses. To give them what? Animals. To give them things that they could own. Slaves. And don't try to exaggerate the text. Those were slaves. Their work was to work for other people, and they had no identity. And to take one who has no identity, no ownership, abused, discontent about life, and take him to a place where he becomes content, fulfilled, and lives a better life, you have prospered that person. I can ask the second question. Why did Jesus come? It's easy. He came to prosper the human race. He came to create an environment where the human race that was lost in a condition that they could never become successful, because you can't become successful without Jesus, because then your end is always bad without Jesus. So Jesus came to ensure you can become successful by creating a means that you can live through to eternity. Enjoy your life now and enjoy it later. That is what prosperity, a creation of a model that ensures success throughout the journey. Are you following me? Why did the Holy Spirit come? I want to ask you this morning. He came so that you may experience prosperity. When we read the words of 3 John, we need to read with them at an application level to study the mind of God through the expression that was written to a fellow believer by the brother of Jesus, John. He is helping us recognize that at the highest level, the plan of God is that we should prosper. Now, I need to qualify that thought from the original understanding of the Greek used here. The word used here is itopai. It means to have a successful journey. So when you say you have prospered, this is what we mean. And I know the word currently carries financial bearing, but in its original understanding, it means to have a safe journey of life, or journey of a trip from one destination to another. So prosperity means a successful journey from one point to another. The work and the aim of bringing the Holy Spirit was to ensure that the believer would have a successful journey of life as he transversed through life to become what God wants him to be and to be the best that God has created to him. So prosperity means I have had a safe journey. When you use this word in the old time, you would have said, I left my place and no hyena attacked me, no leopard attacked me. I didn't have a tire burst on the way. So my journey was safe. It was well. I think you have read the word well there several times. That it may be well, that it may be well, that it may be well. So when everything has been well, we say what? You have prospered. Things have been well for you along the way. Now, the aim of the Holy Spirit is to make your experience of life well. Putting it in another word, is to make, that's an application level, is to make your journey of life well. Now, look at the text. If you can give me the text again. Look at the text and see how we then imply into the text all the application of wellness. Here is what this guy says. I pray that you may enjoy what? Good health. So what is good health? He's talking about wellness in your body. as we know about it today. So it is the wellness in your body. Talk about it in the form of using the word that is used there in the Greek etymology. It means physical prosperity. Your body is well. It's not with sickness, it's not with diseases. And if you want to check my coherence thought with the scripture, the main role of the devil is to create bad breaks for your journey on earth. So whenever you find bad breaks on your journey, you experience some bumps, there are some potholes on your trip, and there are some obstacles in your journey, there are forces that fight you. That's not God's plan. God's plan for you is that you should prosper. What does that mean? It means have a successful journey of your life. That's the plan of God. But the plan of the devil is to ensure, as much as God wants you to have a successful journey and enjoy each part of the day, he is going to ensure that he disturbs you and create bad breaks for you. Now, if you are informed and you know God's plan, when you experience bad breaks, when you experience some potholes, you know how to dodge them, because you know they may be in the road, but they are not part of the plan. You know, there may be things that I have to face, but they are not designed for me. So your way of dealing with them, dodging them, fighting them, it's influenced by your understanding that they are not part of the journey as much as they are in the journey. So he says, I want you to experience what? Physical prosperity. It is called good health. And then he says, and that all may go well with you. Most scholars have set on all may go well with you, and they have argued that all other levels of prosperity can be put in there. So what is John saying to guys? He say, I wish you physical prosperity. Not only physical prosperity, I also wish you social prosperity. What is social prosperity? It means relationships and people in your life. All your journey with people in your life may go well with you. How many of you are aware that you would not enjoy life to the most when your relationships are having disturbances, breakdowns, potholes, obstacles? It's not prosperity. You can't enjoy life well when your life is being attacked at a social level. So John said to Guy, you should know it is also God's plan that we should enjoy things that go well in our social plane of life. Not only that, we can add here the spiritual life. That obviously he is saying to him, I wish that things may go well in your good health, in your spiritual life, that you may experience spiritual prosperity. What is spiritual prosperity? It consists in an environment where your spiritual journey with Christ is going well. You are praying well, you are reading the word well, you are developing your faith muscles well, you are outgrowing your negative confessions, you are no longer working by sight, you are working by faith. It is the spiritual prosperity. Your journey, your walk with Christ at a spiritual level is going well. But we may also add another platform here of prosperity called financial prosperity. That is definitely saying you need to be experiencing what? Financial prosperity. Why? Because your life cannot be well if you are not experiencing a beautiful and smoothful journey in the area of your finances. When your area of your finances is not doing well and there are potholes, I mean, it's like the money gets in and the pocket have holes, and then the holes keeps on chowing the money, and you are never at a place where you say, no, I am fine. Life is not enjoyable. Or maybe there are bad debts, and maybe creditors want some stuff from you. Things are not going well with you when your financial life is not at a good level. And we need to recognize it's God's plan that we experience physical prosperity, social prosperity, spiritual prosperity, financial prosperity. But look at the text. Look at the text. It says, even as, in other words, the condition of this above types of prosperity that you will experience, it is going to be dependent on how your soul is prosperous. In other words, how far your journey in your mental, today's language, they would say, your mental health is prosperous. And I know majority of you are now aware mental health is becoming popular nowadays. It's where the money is. It's talked about everywhere. The Bible have long recognized it. Everything in your life is going to be dependent on the condition of your mental health. But I need to expound it. They will recognize it later. They will always come after the Bible. It comes after the recognition of your soul. And I've taught you in this context that in the soul, you'd find the willpower, you'd find the mind. Yeah, so most of your psychology, your psychiatry is focusing much more on the mind and the emotion. But there is more that comes out of the willpower and its alignment to the spirit. So John says, this is how prosperity is going to be happening. It's going to be dependent on the soul. And I can show you in terms of systematic theology in the scripture. Earlier on, the book of Proverbs chapter number 23, verse number 7, had said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, the level of prosperity that you can experience in your life can never exceed your thinking. You are where you are today because you are thinking. Now, if your thinking is thinking and is negative, that's why you're experiencing negativity and experiencing what you are doing. How do you change your life? You need to change your thinking. But you can see there is what we call progression in the concepts and the study of the Word of God. That what somebody put in as a first brick, the other one comes in and put up the second and the third brick. So in the Old Testament, you were stuck in as a man thinketh, so is he. But now the progression goes to the soul so that as a man feels, so is she, and so is he. As a man wills, so is he, and so is she. Now, here is what the danger is. The danger is if you think and feel and wills contrary to what the Bible teaches, you are going the wrong way. When you feel feelings that are not protected and surrounded and contextualized by scripture, you're going the wrong way. When you think thoughts that are not protected and contextualized by the scripture, you're going the wrong way. When you will the will that is not in alignment with God's word, you're going the wrong way. But in the next series, I want to help you deal with one of the types of the plans that exist within the prosperity types. And I want to talk to you in the next few sessions, I think for this month, on financial prosperity. Why it is important for you to experience financial prosperity. And I've titled this message, the Paraclete Sled Prosperity. In other words, the prosperity that is led by the Holy Spirit. There is a type of prosperity in the area of finance that is led by the Holy Spirit. I know majority of you think that the Holy Spirit is clueless when it comes to investments, clueless when it comes to budgeting, clueless when it comes to shopping, clueless when it comes to accomplishing projects. I want to prove you wrong and help you recognize the plan of God for successful management of money and return on investments is only possible when our investments and our way of managing money is led by the Holy Spirit. Remember that the Holy Spirit is a person. Just because his nature is a spirit does not mean that he only deals with spiritual things. And I have said, it is at a myopic level that we think things are not spiritual. Most of the time, it is our inability of revelation that limits our thinking to think that things are not spiritual and therefore the Holy Spirit or God cannot speak to them. But at a very high level, a lot of things consist spirituality. Yeah. That's why the rocks could hear Jesus. That's why the trees could hear him, because they have ears that hears in the spirit. But they don't have ears like the one that you have. A lot of things consist spirituality. Money consists spirituality. And when we approach it from the flesh, we would fail. One of our problems today in the church is that we have believers who are spiritually successful. They pray well, they read the word well, but when it comes to finances, no, they are not. And that's not God's plan. God's plan is that all our journey on earth should entail a successful trip. You know other people that are in the world, they are those that have been able to experience financial success, but they don't have social success, social prosperity. There are those who have experienced financial prosperity, but they don't have physical prosperity. So they have the money, but they can't go out for coffee to chow the money, because the physicality that is needed for that to happen is not there. There are those who have beautiful social prosperity. Their relationships are nice, they love each other, but hey, the problem is their financial success is zero, so they can't even enjoy their love with any other thing. There are those who experience very good spiritual success. I mean, they can speak in tongues like of angels, but the problem is their financial resources are not there for them to do more than what the angels can do and do what human beings do. So here's the key thought. The Bible teaches balance, and we need to aim for it. And my approach this morning is to help you recognize there is an argument about it, you know, among, you know, preaching dynamics that most preachers, it's not well researched, but it's a thought that has existed for over time. That for most people, the last area of their lives to be saved is their wallet. Your heart gets saved and it loves God. Your mind follows, you know, overgrown negative thinking, but your pocket remains in the world. The way in which you manage money is not informed by God's word. But the way you manage your heart is informed by God's word. So you spiritually, you are saved, but your wallet is not yet saved. There are those who get saved and they are saved, they love God, but now the physical prosperity, their body, the way they manage it, it's still in the world. So we need to grow to a level where all the five elements of prosperity have been saved. Which one is saved in your context today? Is your mind saved? Is your heart saved, your spirit man? How about your wallet? How about your body? How about your relationship? Because there are those who say, no, Pastor, I'm coming to church. Please talk to my soul. Leave my boyfriend or my girlfriend alone. This one, it's mine. My heart is of the Lord. But this one, it's mine, Pastor. Let's leave it. Let's not talk about it. Let's not discuss it. But as for my heart, I love the Lord. Oh, Pastor, let's talk about prayer and other things. When you begin to talk about money, that one is mine, Pastor. I work for it so hard, I need to enjoy it alone. Saved, the pocket or the wallet is not saved. Saved, the relationship is not yet saved. So I want to focus in helping you today. And as I do that, I'm about to take you to another text. Okay, let's go to that text. Zechariah chapter number 4, verse number 6. Now, in the text, Zechariah chapter number 4, verse number 6, if you can give it me another one, please. So let's read. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. Oh, I just pronounced the word Zerubbabel right. If any one of you is struggling with English language, when you meet people today, just tell them, hey, Zerubbabel. Just say something and then put Zerubbabel in it. Yeah. And You will have spoken a big word. When they ask you, go and Google it. Now, look at me so that I bring you to the text. Zerubbabel was a governor of Judah. The location of this text, Israel have just been released from captivity. They have just returned to Jerusalem, their land. This man called Zerubbabel is appointed to be the head of administration or the president, if we are to think about it. He's the head of the administration. And he's managing two projects. Number one, the building of the temple, because the temple was the treasury of Israel. And then the establishment of the state in the name of the political avenues of how governance is going to be done. At this particular time, he's trying to build the treasury, which is the house of God, so that the nation can have resources. And the nation already has gold and some other stuff and so forth, and is trying to create an army and so forth. But in the region, other nations that are closer to him are becoming more powerful than him. God sends the prophet Zechariah, go and tell Zerubbabel, the project that he's about to embark in, or that he's embarking in, which is the building of the treasury, which requires what? Gold, silver, mechanism for building, and so forth and so forth. It is not going to be by might. Now, might speaks to the building of the nation, which is establishing the state, because the might of this particular time speaks to the might of the army. Okay? It speaks to the level of competencies that you have and the people that you have and how big your army can be able to withstand the armies in the region. Power speaks to the access to the abundance of the gold that can be used as a resource to establish the house of the Lord. So God says to him, this project that we are going to undertake, it is not going to become successful because of how much army you have, what type of chariots you have, what type of skillful fighters do you have, or what types of money, because power was represented by gold and gold represented money, or how much money you have to build a house. This is going to be a product of what the Spirit or the Holy Spirit is doing. I know for majority of you, you have read this scripture wrongly and associated this power with a lot of this power here. But the context in the text is that the power is referring to the might of the nation. And I want to show you, because my time is it's going away, some at least four principles, if I will be able to match the first service. Number one is that financial prosperity starts with the Holy Spirit. If you are going to start projects that requires finances and get them done, your starting place is the Holy Spirit. But majority of us have excluded the Holy Spirit in the affairs of our life, thinking this one does not need the Holy Spirit. I would need him if there are witches coming from Serowe or those who are very strong from Bobono, then I need the Holy Spirit. So if you want to become financially stable, you need to involve the Holy Spirit in your matters. Let God be in your projects. The first thing that he urges is, and which is my number two principle, is that financial prosperity does not depend on the economy and the skills of resources. No, the skills of the people around you. Have you ever seen yourself starting a project and you think like, I have the right builder, I have all the materials that are coming, I'm going to get it done, and it stops on the way. And later on, when the project has stopped on the way, that's when you'll be saying, oh, I need to go and tell God. I mean, the builders was the right. I mean, I bought the right material. Now things are not meeting, because a successful journey, what is successful journey? Prosperity always starts and ends with God. And number three is that financial prosperity does not depend on the abundance of lack of resources. So when we deal about financial prosperity, the question is not on whether you have access to money, because money alone or finances alone are not enough to guarantee you success. Some of you have been in conditions where you had the money was not there, but at the end of the day, you got nothing. Why? There are things that are involved in the progression of the journey called prosperity that you would need to cater for other than money. You'd have all the money. I have all the money for this project. I have all the money that I need. And then you would get zero results, because it takes more than gold and silver, or money as we know, to get prosperity. What am I saying to you? Involve God in your money and see your money doing more for you just because God is involved. Most of you do the mistake that men did yesterday. Now the pastor is not with them. The pastor is not part of the leadership. How can I put this excuse nicely? But we went there. We never prayed. When we recognized it's now dark and we are going back and we are frustrated, gentlemen, let's pray. Yeah, that's majority of us in our projects. When you recognize you wanted to build, the house is now stuck. My wife and my children, let's pray. We need to pray for this project. Oh, when you recognize that now you have had a tire burst, no, let's pray for the trip. When you recognize that now the child is beginning to misbehave, oh no, let's begin to pray that this child should go right. We need to involve God at the start of every project. You need to pray the most when you have enough of the money that you need. Let's outgrow very cynical approaches that we only pray when we are in lack. You need more of the Holy Spirit when you are undertaking a project, whether in lack or in abundance. That's why there are some people that get things done with no money in abundance, because they involve God first. And you wonder how they get their projects done despite the fact that they didn't have access to more. But you had access to more, but you got nothing. Remember my key thought. It's in 3 John. Even as your soul prospers. Money have to be managed to give you the financial prosperity you need God's way. If you have not grown in your soul, what is your soul? In your thinking, no, this is my money. My money belongs to me. God touched my heart, but don't enter into my wallet. You are going to experience bumps. You are going to experience breaks. You are going to lose more money that if you could have partnered with God, you could have attained more things. I know what the world is teaching you. The world is teaching you keep. The world is teaching you, they want to cheat you in church. The world is teaching you, this is your own sweat. But you have been sweating. And you are not able to move anywhere. You know, one of the things that we teach at a financial management level is when we do a net worth assessment over individual, it's to be able to track how much you have been getting as income for the particular years of time that you've been able to do, and then put a percentage over it to see what should have been the likelihood of growth and compound interest, what it should have done to your life, therefore what is the likely estimate for your net worth. And most of the time you'd see somebody that 4 million have passed through his life over the last 10 years, but he can't show you an asset of 1 million. And then you can see this person is working hard, but what he's working for doesn't come back to him. Financial prosperity. It's financial, but it starts with the Holy Spirit. We need to grow to recognize that the Holy Spirit as a person can comment on investments, can comment on budgeting, can comment on decision making involving money. Can help you manage your budget. Start with him. Majority of you take your money, you hold it by this side, you want to move forward and say, Lord, help me move forward. And God is saying, you are not allowing me to influence the area that is needed to move you forward. So if you manage your money the secular way, the worldly way, the blessing of the Lord would not come to the structure. And you will speak scriptures, declare things, and you don't get results because there's no alignment in thinking and in concrete plans. I pray that God may help all of you to grow in your soul, in your way of looking at money, and stop making money your biggest achievement, because you can have it and achieve nothing. But when the grace that comes from the Holy Spirit comes, it can give you more than you need from money, including the money itself. We need to put God first and money second, so that we recognize when He is above, He can influence it. May God help you and deliver you from thinking that when you are in control of your finances, it's the right place. When the right place is to say, just like you cannot be in control of your heart, you have seen how much you have deceived yourself and how much you have, then just because you cannot depend on your thinking, you have seen how your thinking have deceived you, thinking, no, this time I am so right. And then later on to recognize your thinking deceived you. You can't even depend on your emotions. You know how you have felt, and then suddenly recognize it was a wrong thing, but you felt it. Emotions, thinking, and will cannot be the baseline for deciding on how you use your money. You need to bring God's word in. How does God want me to manage my finances in such a way that it can work for me? When you do that, He who does not change and He who is able to look into the future begins to orchestrate the movements of your money and the decisions that you make. And you'll find yourself in places that you say, I don't deserve this, but the Lord brought me here. It starts with aligning your finances with the Holy Spirit. Put your hand on your chest. Say a prayer to the Holy Spirit as you want this morning. Lord, we are before your presence. We have shared your word. Help us this morning to align how we deal with money with your will. To align how we use our money with your thinking. Help us to align how we manage our money, Lord, with your will, with your plan, with your word. I surrender every life here today represented. Some have had bad breaks in their financial journey. Lord, I declare restoration upon their lives. And I pray for an awareness in their mind that the Holy Spirit may cause them to prosper first in their mind. That when they aligned how they manage their money with your will, Lord, breakthroughs and good breaks shall come upon them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. And I bless you. Come on, give the Lord some praise.